about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Like, man, it's a psych out. See the pleasure lovers who live it like it is, where it's at. Make the scene with the rebels, the hippies who think that flower power rules over everything and everybody. Psych out.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I rule the world. Imagine that.
I free all my sons. I love them, baby.
Things were said. Mistakes were made. Let's end this madness and get on with our lives.
Michael, let your imagination run amok.
Run what?
Amok. It means don't let your imagination run out of control.
Why didn't you just say that, Pam?
Michael, do not let your imagination run out of control.
Well, that's easy for you to say. You have a bad imagination. It's stupid. I live in a fantasy world.
And now,
we're tiny, we're toony, we're all a little loony.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Thursday, the 16th of August. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Who's your handsome Jewish friend?
That would be Jensen Karp.
Now, I feel like it's very presumptuous to call me Jewish. Is it that my face looks like an actual bagel? Is it?
Fair enough.
Yeah. I just feel like, because I look like every protagonist in a Woody Allen film, that doesn't mean you can just presume I'm Jewish.
You're not hiding it, what I'm saying.
No, basically, I'm a walking bar mitzvah, but I'm so happy to be here. I feel like the Asian dude in Journey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
I feel like there's a cover band. I've been working on it on my own podcast, and then the big leagues called me, and here I am. To fill in, and I'm thrilled and I'm honored to be here.
It nice. certainly is glamorous on the inside, isn't it, Jensen?
I mean, God, this studio fully, truly does give me the feeling that radio is booming.
Well, we have a lot to talk about on today's program. I want to get started with a couple of things. First, I hate to bring it up again, but remember yesterday, Allie, we heard from the listener Heidi, who was trying to help me understand why I always misspelled or mispronounce the word Arctic.
Right. Arctic.
Right. It is, in fact, Arctic, and I frequently say Arctic, and I can't figure out why. Well, she wrote in to say, the reason you say it that way is because it's Antarctica, and you're confused by the fact that Antarctica is on one side of the Earth, and then the Arctic is on the other. They're different, and that's where the disconnect is.
Mm-hmm.
So I accepted that explanation, and I thought, oh, at least it makes sense. At least now I know where it's coming from. Well, now, Matt, Kevin to Bean listener, as the plot thickens, Kevin Bean Lister from Australia says, hey, your listener misled you. There is no Antarctica. It's only Antarctica. So
we're pronouncing Antarctica wrong as well.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
God.
What he is saying.
I mean, this is really just a conundrum, a full circle spiral.
Yeah.
This never ends.
I liked it better when I thought that Matt was saying there is no Antarctica. Yeah. I'm like, oh, let's hear this theory.
Yeah, it's like the planets. We're all just changing them up every couple months.
Well, we've heard from the flat earthers about that.
Yeah.
There is no Antarctica. There's just that wall of ice that the ships run into when they get to that point on the, I almost said globe, but that would be very offensive to them on the Earth.
Yeah.
So now what do we do? Because now it's Arctic and it's Antarctica. Are we going to be able to keep that straight? Do you guys agree with that? Are you cool with it?
As an Armenian guy, I'm half Armenian.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a cousin named Arctic.
Okay. How does he spell it?
A-R-T-I-C.
Oh.
Okay. Well, there's no confusion.
Help.
No confusion.
I'm just saying, in my mind, I feel like Arctic in general is a guy with a unibrow and he lives in Glendale.
Okay.
It is Arctic. Do you know?
Okay.
I don't think there is real. I mean, I'm not going to go with these random emails we're getting from Australia to tell me how to mention anything.
Okay.
I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm saying I didn't watch Crocodile Dundee for the grammar.
I feel like it's really early to be pissing off Matt
in
Australia.
Fine. It's all one time for me.
Well, I am I'm frustrated now because I want to get them both right.
Or
and now
are you
I
frustrated?
I am frustrated, actually.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
I mean, this is a dilemma, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
All right, so that's old business. Now, on to new business. You know, every once in a while I bring you a story, Allie, about a lady who goes to, or a gentleman at times, who goes to the eye doctor and something is discovered.
Right.
And it's never good.
Mm-mm.
It's always a bad, bad surprise.
Yeah.
This is a 42-year-old British woman, according to a report recently published, who had a pea-sized lump just below her left eyebrow. And it became a cyst, and it grew over a six-month period until it was visible on an MRI. So it's swelling. It becomes painful when touched. Her left eyelid starts to droop. So she goes to the doctor, and they get in there, the surgeons do, and they find a hard contact lens, the type she wore 28 years ago.
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was intact. It appeared to have been perfectly encapsulated by tissue. In other words, it was essentially absorbed into her body. And then they had to remove it, and she couldn't figure out how that was possible. Then her mom remembered that she had had an accident as a 14-year-old while playing badminton. She was hit in the left eye by a shuttlecock.
Sure.
At the time, she...
How did it get weirder? Yeah, it did. How did it get weirder? I didn't know. Also, I went into this thinking you were going to say it was a spider egg, so everything down is cool with me.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Could be anything.
Yeah.
So she should be delighted at this news.
Yeah.
So she gets hit in the eye with the shuttlecock. She wore rigid contacts at the time, and the contact in the injured eye at the time of the injury was never found. But because she felt fine, the injury resolved itself. They assumed that the contact had flown out of her eye and had been lost, and she never used that type of contact again after the accident. By the way, I'm a person who wears glasses to read, but have never used contacts at all. I would not be a good candidate for that. I would be terrified of putting something in my eyes every day.
Same. Yeah. I've worn glasses almost my entire life. I can't imagine anyone putting anything into their eyeball. It sounds like a horror film.
I had an eye infection a year ago, and I had to have a friend hold me down to put the drops in.
I'm the same way.
The whole time I was like,
it's an exorcism. It's literally an exorcism.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm exactly the same way. It is almost impossible to get eye drops. Yet I have to put eye drops in my little dog Linus's left eye every day, and he barely wakes up for it.
That's because he can't talk. If he could talk, he'd be like, stop this. I'm a dog. I let my eyes grow.
I'll also remind you, Allie, of the story we did last year of the British woman whose doctor found 27 soft contact lenses in her eyes, if you'll recall.
In her eyes?
They were
in
just like on top of each other.
Yes.
What is she doing?
She's not bright.
She had 17 disposable contacts and a blue mass in her right eye and a clump of 10 in the other eye.
Oh, she would have a terrible time on dating apps.
Her eyesight was worse in one eye. She went to the doctor and found out why. So I guess pay attention to what's going in your eye and make sure that it comes out, I guess.
That's good advice.
Good advice is the takeaway?
I mean, also, I feel like I can't walk down the street if there's an eyelash even close to my iris. Yeah. These people are just absolutely unthoughtful when it comes to their body.
Yeah, they're just dismissing.
Yeah.
No
28 years she's walking around with that insider.
Yeah.
I guess she's lucky it didn't get worse a lot faster. All right, let's talk about today's All New Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You want to believe in fairy tales? Far be it from me. Go ahead. Believe in your fantasy world.
Mark Wahlberg is back with another movie made with Peter Berg that I will not see. But there's a lot of people who love these movies. Mile 22, it's called. Jensen, in your long, long career, have you had much interaction with Mr. Wahlberg?
Oh, Wahlberg and I have had no interaction. I feel like in the white rap world, I feel like you would want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I've never had any good vibrations. No.
It's a small fraternity of white rappers. You guys should have been tight.
He doesn't come to the meetings.
Have you ever even been to a Wahlburgers?
I have. I recently went to a Wahlburgers. I'm going to tell you something. Impressed.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy about Wahlburgers? Have you been?
Yes.
The idea that the movies and TV shows that they've been in all etched into the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
how about that?
A lot of those. But they didn't. Some were selected. Some weren't.
Interesting.
Like NKOTB was up there.
Of course.
But I couldn't find I Heart Huckabees.
How about that?
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Mark coming up next hour here on the Kevin Beach. We got a new edition of Get Up on This. That's going to be Jensen's surprise to us. Mm-hmm. We don't know what that topic is. We'll look forward to that. Here's an interesting go back in time exercise. What would you tell your high school self? If you had the opportunity, Allie, to talk to 17-year-old Allie, what advice would you give her? We're going to discuss with all of us here and you, the listener, on the Kevin and Bean Show today. We've got a brand new internet roundup for you with the best viral videos of the week. What is the etiquette if people respond to you, or write to you, I should say, on social media? Are you required to write back?
I got hot takes.
Yeah, you do.
I feel like
you
I do. Got hot takes.
Some might say insane.
You know what? And I still believe in it.
Oh,
I
thought you'd sleep on it and wake up and go, I was not right.
No. I actually am what you call doubling down.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, no. I'm here and I'm ready to be crazy.
Okay.
We will discuss that. Also, there is some controversy in the City of Lights with urinals all over town that you don't go into, you just pee into on the street.
Gosh.
And not everybody is crazy about them. Dr. Drupinski on the program today. We're going to tackle the red-hot issue of vaginal rejuvenation on the program today.
Yeah, we are.
I am way for it, but apparently the FDA disagrees. So we'll see what Dr. Drew has to say about that, because he would know. All right, a quick break. Allie's back with What's Happening right after this on K-Rock. Hey, programming note, tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, some live music. The band The Interrupters is going to be here performing for us. And then on Saturday, you'll have a chance to see him with Iration at the K-Rock Summer Pool Party, which is going to be at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, hosted by Stryker. We'll have tickets to give away to that later on today as well.
Can I suggest something?
Sure.
Can we call it a resort and ska when they're performing?
Boom!
I'm here. I've arrived.
So lucky Kevin's not here.
I've arrived.
I was going to say drop the mic, but then I realized that's probably why your show is called that, is for moments just like that.
You know what? No matter what time it is, you can't hide genius. You know what I mean?
Maybe try.
Okay. Fair enough.
It is Thursday morning, 5:53. Allie's got her first look at what happened.
I do like that Bean and I are the ones that will totally accept a pun.
Thank you.
Kevin would have your neck right now.
Well, you know what? He ain't here right now.
That's a great point.
When the cat's away, puns. I don't know the second part of that.
I mean, it didn't flow as well.
Well, we'll work on it.
Yeah.
Workshopping.
Absolutely. If you guys missed it yesterday, we found out that Aerosmith is going to be doing their Las Vegas residency at the Park Theater. Yes, it's kicking off April 6, 2019. It's called Aerosmith. Deuces Are Wild. There's going to be 18 shows, April, June, and July. Ticket prices $75 to $750.
Whoa.
That's a good difference,
I would say.
Right there.
Yeah. Have you seen Steven Tyler lately?
I saw him on the Today Show when he announced this.
He looks like beef jerky.
He doesn't look like he's got a skin regimen.
No.
As much as he should at his age, and maybe stay out of the sun a little bit.
Yeah. He looks like a human dream catcher.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just things hanging off
like
him.
Webby.
Yeah, he just looks creepballs.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
I did notice that his hair on the Today Show looked like he had slept with it in braids and then took it out because it had like that nice look. That
he braids it for sleep.
Yeah, he tried not to have it look like he worked on it real hard, but it had that look like this was an attempt.
I mean, he's just very cool.
He is. Listen, Aerosmith in Las Vegas. I'd go to that show for sure. No.
Okay. I'm not, I just feel like if I'm going to Vegas, mm-hmm. I don't want to, what is it, a 2-hour show?
Probably, yeah.
I'm not spending it with Steven Tyler. Can you, who else is in the band? There's
Joe
like
Perry.
Joe Perry, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then a bunch of guys.
Yeah. The other guys.
I'm going to Boyz II Men. They have a residency.
I've seen it.
How is it?
I've seen it twice. I saw it on its opening night.
Oh, yeah. I'm on Bended Knee.
It is.
That's where I'm going.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's one of the best shows. Like every single song, I had to drag my cameraman from KTLA mm-hmm. to go to it because we were doing live shots there. And he was like, I am not going to see Boyz II Men. I'm like, you will, and you will like it. He sat down and no joke, after every song, he's like, they do this one too?
Oh, yeah.
Like he was in shock at how many hits they have.
Yeah.
It was great.
Motown Philly's back again.
Yeah.
I could do this all day. It's hard to say goodbye. I mean, it's
amazing.
It's hit after hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boyz II Men, ABC, BBD, the
East Coast Family.
Yeah.
No thanks, Aerosmith.
All right.
Allie and I know where we're going.
Well, I'll go to Aerosmith as well. I'm not going to lie.
Well, no thanks.
Okay. All right. You will pass. You guys, this is just getting sadder and sadder for Meghan Markle. Her dad and her have a very rough relationship. They're mm-hmm. not really talking right now because he feels the need to, you know, do interviews when she says, please stop it.
Yeah, I feel there's a real break in the relationship when you get married and won't invite your father. I feel like that's tough.
Oh,
to
no, he was invited. He wasn't coming.
He got caught basically staging
a photo shoot.
A paparazzi photo shoot, but it was like the most adorable paparazzi shoot ever.
Yeah, getting fitted for a tux,
right? No, the one I love is him in a restaurant reading a book that says like what to see when in the UK.
Oh, God.
Like tourism spots.
Right.
It was adorable.
And then he was also in the internet cafe looking at pictures and articles about about the royal wedding.
Yeah, he's adorable.
Right. No.
It's great. I love it.
I don't think we're saying adorable.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. If I'm going to commit my life to being royalty, mm-hmm. I want my dad to be Roger Clinton. Remember Bill Clinton's brother?
The sax mm-hmm. player?
No. Well, I think Bill Clinton was the sax player.
Yeah, but I think his brother was.
I think his brother just like smoked pot.
Oh.
I think that was his instrument.
Oh,
but, okay. What I'm saying is I want that Beverly Hillbillies vibe.
Right?
I think it's cool. I think it shows I'm grounded.
But when she keeps saying to him, hey, Dad, stop it and stop doing interviews about me. And he keeps doing them to get paid.
Let me live my life, princess.
I want to live. Cut the F off.
Come on. I want to go to Home Depot and wear sandals. You know what I mean? I want to be weird.
All right. Well, he apparently skipped her first wedding in 2011. So people are like, hey, wait a minute. This is a pattern with this guy. So maybe their relationship wasn't as great anyway to begin with. But don't you make an effort to see your daughter get married at least the first time, let alone to a prince, like 10 down in the line, whatever it is?
I would say you do.
Yeah. Okay. Is that it?
I mean, I don't know, guys. I like having, remember, you know, like how Randy Quaid is in the Vacation movies?
Yes.
That's what I want my dad to be. I want him to be
wearing
weird. I want him to show up with like zinc under his eyes, mm-hmm. even though it's like cold out. Like, I want weird stuff to happen.
I would love weird stuff to happen, but when you are explicitly asked not to do interviews and stage stuff for the paparazzi, where you're getting paid and talking about one of the now most well-known women in the world,
right?
Well, she's worried about it reflecting badly on her new family, right?
I want him to pull out like a glass and be like, "Is this crystal?" I don't think it's crystal. I think this is just a cup. Like, I want weird stuff to be said.
You want him just to yell that he's cleaning out the Esser?
Yeah, I want King Ralph.
Okay.
John Goodman reference.
All right.
Great pull.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Some birthdays for you. Madonna, you guys.
60.
Madonna is 60?
60 today.
Holy.
60 years old. Yep.
Arms look great.
Yeah.
Kathy Lee Gifford, James Cameron, Angela Bassett, Timothy Hutton, who, by the way, is not. If you're going to meet Timothy Hutton and you're in, you know, junior high, do not say how much you love him in Pretty in Pink. Because he is not Andrew McCarthy.
Nope.
He will play along. And then you'll walk away and your friend will go, you idiot. And then you feel bad for Timothy Hutton for years. And you tell him 20 years later. And he's like, yeah, I don't care. But it was a good time, everybody. Steve Carell. It's his birthday. And one of the greatest directors ever. You might know him from Thor Ragnarok, What We Do in the Shadows. But you should know him from Eagle vs. Shark, one of the greatest movies out there. I think everyone should see it. Taika Waititi. And that's what's happening.
I know Mark Wahlberg is on the line, you guys, and I know he's got this Mile 22 that looks very good, very entertaining in theaters this weekend. But I got Wahlberg's questions that I'm going to have to get to first. So will you permit me?
Please.
All right.
Okay. Hey, Mark Wahlberg.
Not on hold yet.
Hello, it's me.
Jensen, you're now Mark Wahlberg.
Well, I've been making so many burgers this morning, it's hard for me to even talk.
I think he's on hold now.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Wahlberg.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, welcome back to the Kevin DeBeat Show. How are you, besides working hard like you do every day?
How are you doing?
Well, we're fine, but we were just talking.
I'm actually on a little vacation.
Oh, no kidding.
See, only Mark Wahlberg will do radio interviews while on a vacation.
Yeah, that's not a vacation, Mark. I hate to break it to you.
Well, no, I'm slowly walking down a golf course right now. Oh. We're in a beautiful part of Massachusetts with my family, so kids are still sleeping.
Oh.
Got my exercise in early.
Okay.
And, you know, just excited to talk about the movie. We got a great movie, so I want to tell everybody to go and see it.
Yeah, well, we're gonna get to that. It's funny you should mention the golf thing, because I have heard that you have said if you had it to do all over again and you had the talent, that would be the dream job for you, being a professional golfer. Like, that would be your passion.
Well, and golf is my passion, but I realized a long time ago I can't make a living at it, so I just go out and have fun. I kind of keep it in perspective now.
What I'm going to get really weird.
It's a tough racket, so.
I'm going to get really weirded out if you are by chance at a golf course on the Cape. Are you?
You're smart.
Okay, because I think my uncle owns it.
Whoa.
You might be at my uncle. Does a hockey legend, is he part owner of this course?
Who would that be, Bobby Orr?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it's the same course. You can ask me once I'm off the air. I don't want to.
All right, yeah, we won't give it away.
Hey, Allie, is there a way you could probably give away exactly Mark Wahlberg's location?
Yeah. I would just say it's so weird that he's at my uncle's golf course.
Mark, if you could move to the left a bit, the snipers need to get a little better of a shot on you. If you could just, we just need to know your exact location.
No, the problem is I don't know if phones are allowed. So right now I had to walk off the course to do the call.
Oh, nice.
Well, again, if you could, if at any chance you could just give us the exact longitude and latitude, that would probably help out.
All right, let's talk mile 22. I'm sorry.
No, I have one more golf question. What do you make of Tiger Woods' remarkable last couple of months? Do you think that he is on the way to coming all the way back, Mark, or do you think this is just a lucky fluke right now?
I think absolutely. Actually, Tiger is a friend, and I talked to him after the British Open, and you know he was so close. He felt really bad about letting that slip away, but you know he felt like this tournament. At the PGA Championship, he felt like he literally turned back the hands of time and for 4 hours, and it was absolutely incredible to see. It's so nice. That, you know, he's the reason why I started playing.
Yeah.
And I think once he gets over that hump and wins, I think he's going to win a lot of golf tournaments.
That would be such an unbelievable comeback after such a dry streak for so many years. And I really did, and I know this isn't why you're on the phone, but I really did, and I think a lot of people thought that it was all mental. He had some injuries, but in general, it was a mental problem that it seems like he spent a lot of time working through.
Well, I think, you know, you got to get over that hump, having that kind of pressure and those expectations that you put on yourself, never mind the expectations that people put on you. But also, you know, he's had his spine infused. I mean, that's not an easy injury to come back from.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right. The great Mark Wahlberg on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He mentioned Mile 22. This is a movie I know you are very excited about, your latest collaboration with your friend, director Peter Berg. And you guys were kind of doing something different than you've been doing the last few years. And it's an original movie that is wall-to-wall action, I'm told.
Yeah, the first three movies that we've done are all based on real-life tragedies. And for us, we just wanted to do something we could have our version of fun. And we created a really original, cool, character-driven action movie, especially... You know, it's so timely because in a world of, you know, sequels during the summer, it's nice to have something original and something different. And it's also really smart. You know, it's a branch of the CIA that not a lot of people know about, Overwatch and Ground Branch. And these guys these men and women do some very dangerous work. And they don't kind of get the parade like a lot of our military branches get when they come home. They're below the radar. And it's a pretty incredible story.
Mark, if I haven't seen Mile 21, will I know what's in 22? It's fine, right? I have another question.
There's no Mile 21, but...
Okay, fair enough. Here's another question.
Mile 44, if people like this one.
Well, yeah. I mean, I saw 8 Mile, so I assume they're in the same universe. My other question to you, and I wonder, this film seems grueling while watching it. I know you worked out for like 5 months straight, even though you didn't even have a scene where you took off your shirt, so I could only understand it as a mental workout. Here's my thing. Is it easier to film this movie... or be very close friends with DJ Khaled? Which one of those is more grueling? Like, I watch you guys, your friendship on Instagram, and I'm almost, I'm tired just watching Khaled's Instagram, and you're actually friends with him.
You know, Khaled is such a sweet guy. I've never met anybody who has more positive energy and, you know, just spreads more love than Khaled. It's incredible what he's been able to accomplish. But no, Mile 22 was a tough movie to shoot. You know, a lot of, you know, physically demanding, but also going to Colombia for 3 weeks and not, you know, normally I go home every weekend. So being away from my family for that length of time was tough. We worked a 6-day week, so I couldn't travel home on the weekends.
What did you think of Colombia?
The best, baby. Huh?
What did you think of Colombia?
Colombia was awesome.
Yeah?
You know, obviously, you know, you kind of only know what you've heard about. And, you know, it was amazing. The people are great. Really smart, talented people down there. The president was more than accommodated. We were able to do stuff in Colombia that wouldn't have been able to do anywhere else as far as, like, shutting down streets and blowing stuff up. And but really talented people, great food. You know, it's just unfortunate that every time I go to a place like that, I go for work, so I never really get to see places, you know.
Right.
We don't get to experience the culture and, you know, really explore the city.
You got a great cast in this Mile 22. We're talking to Mark Wahlberg on the Kevin and Bean Show. Obviously, Lauren Cohen. She looks phenomenal in this movie. Ronda Rousey, great again. But I wanted to ask you about John Malkovich. Is he a guy that you knew him before, right, John?
Yeah, Malkovich and I, we've also did Deepwater Horizon together.
Yeah.
And, he's obviously one of the great character actors out there.
Is he a little bit crazy? He seems like he might be.
You know what? He plays crazy really well, but he's a very, very sweet guy.
Okay. All right. In our remaining...
always go back to him in, you know, Line of Fire.
Right. In our remaining minute, what's your handicap out on the golf course, Mark?
You know, I'm playing pretty good right now, but I like to keep my handicap high because if I'm playing with Tiger or Bubba Watson or any of those guys, Justin Thomas, I got to get as many shots as I possibly can.
That makes sense.
I mean, I can't even watch those dudes on TV without feeling like I'm inadequate.
Inadequate.
Yeah, I can't imagine playing with them.
That's a sentence that the guy just said, and that's just part of his real life, you guys. All right, actor and producer Mark Wahlberg. Hey, by the way, don't forget Ballers is back on HBO Sunday nights that Mark produces as well. But Mile 22 is in theaters everywhere this weekend. It looks like a lot of fun. Nice of you to take the time out of your vacation and catch up with us, Mark. We always enjoy having you on the program.
Hey, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
You bet. Bye-bye. How about that song, Acoustic, here at K-Rock tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show? That's the Interrupters, and Saturday you'll have a chance to see them with Iration at the K-Rock Summer Pool Party. That's at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, hosted by our good friend Stryker. You can go to K-Rock.com for a chance to win, and also keep listening between 7 and 8. We'll give away a pair as well. Allie, you want to go back to another pool party?
I would.
You love being in the sun.
I don't. Just give me a huge umbrella and a muumuu, and I'm fine.
Yeah, it's like I feel like it's like my arch nemesis, a Vegas pool party.
Yeah, uh-huh. I had melanoma.
Yeah,
and when you have that rough of a cancer, that's caused by the sun.
Yeah, the legit reason. Yeah,
you don't love pool parties,
but you only had it once, though, right?
That's true. I was very lucky.
Oh, I thought he was saying maybe go for it twice.
I thought you had it more than once, actually.
Oh, no. I had melanoma once, but all my basal cell and squamous cell carcinomas, I'm up at 32.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Well, see, if I were you, I would go out there like I'm like Winona Ryder in Beetlejuice. Like, I'd have a whole black outfit and a black umbrella. I'd be like a real bum out. Enjoy your skin cancer. Have a great time.
That's so sad.
6:57 Thursday morning. That's the voice of Jensen Karp, by the way, filling in for Kevin today. The monkey's out for a couple of days. He'll be back. Allie's here with what's happening, though.
Well, we know that Topher Grace plays the Grand Wizard of the KKK, David Duke, in the new Spike Lee joint, Black Klansman. And it wasn't an easy role for him. He didn't really have a lot of downtime that was happy, so he just edited a bunch of movies having fun. Well, now he had to reach out to police because he got a very threatening phone call about his role in the movie. The star tells police that the caller referred to him using a gay slur and then warned him that taking on the role would ruin race relations in America. He reportedly described the caller as aggressive and angry. How did this cuckoo person get his number?
Yeah, it's not like not in the yellow pages.
No.
Can't just look him up.
No. And playing David Duke would ruin race relations in America?
Not the actual
David Duke.
No. If you play him, that's the issue.
Portraying him. Yeah. Got it.
As you know, Hitler wasn't a problem. It's all the actors who played Hitler.
Agree.
I think about David Duke more than you guys do because I live in Louisiana, and I walk around going, I bet there are people in this restaurant who voted for him for governor.
Ugh.
I mean, that was a thing that happened where he had support. And by the way, if there was ever a time in American history for him to come back, I feel like we're very close to that time now.
Didn't someone just get elected after saying that Nazis were right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, we're nowhere different. This is, David Duke is sadly just as relevant as he's ever been.
Mm-hmm. He'd be a middle-of-the-road candidate today if he came out.
He'd be moderate.
Absolutely.
Well, I feel that's very scary for Topher Grace, though. Nobody wants that. That's
nobody
a bad phone call.
Nobody wants that. You know what people want, though? A reunion tour with, dare I say, one of the best bands getting back together. Perhaps you know him from this hit. Boy, you let me go. It's Damn 80 Kane, you guys.
Yay!
Sure, they were formed on a TV show called Making the Band in 2005, but they're good. However, there are only three of the original five members that are reuniting.
I'm out!
I know. Oh. It's going to be Aubrey O'Day, Don Richard, and Shannon Bex, but they are going on a tour across the country, 15 shows beginning in September. It's dubbed the Universe is Undefeated Tour. I wasn't aware the universe was up against challenges, but apparently the universe is winning them all.
I'll tell you something. If you've ever heard Danity Kane's music, the universe definitely got one up on them.
Oh, no.
Also, isn't Aubrey O'Day, I would go just to chant Donald Trump Jr. throughout the whole
show.
Yeah,
she supposedly is the one that kind of split up his marriage.
Yeah, had an affair with him.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long have they been broken up? It can't be that long.
God, I think a while.
Danity Kane is kind of one of those groups that broke up all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like...
A lot of drama in
the
group.
Yeah.
Was that the one that kind of P. Diddy was behind putting together?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
You had me excited with a great band getting back together,
Allie.
Yeah,
I know. And then you heard Danity Kane?
I'm waiting for the band reunion. The other Diddy collaboration creation. Yeah.
Is that the one that...
Dylon.
He made them go and get the cheesecakes.
Yeah. I would go to that reunion show and I would eat cheesecake in front of them.
I would need Da Band to get back together and they would open up for Da Brat.
Oh my gosh.
Rat-a-tat-tat.
This is already a show that I would love.
All right, I'm in.
Well, book it, Jensen. You know people.
Be right back, guys.
Okay. Some birthdays for you. Kathy Lee Gifford, James Cameron, Madonna, Angela Bassett, Timothy Hutton, Steve Carell, and Taika Waititi, a great director, and that's what's happening.
Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup on the program later on today. Also, our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky as well. Very sad news breaking, by the way, apparently confirmed from the Associated Press that Aretha Franklin has died.
The queen of soul.
Which we knew was coming. We knew she'd been very sick. We had heard she was in hospice, but still, it's a great loss for the music industry. One of the all-time great singers. As we talked about a couple days ago, Allie, first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and deservedly so.
Yeah, she was the queen of soul, but the queen of so much. She was groundbreaking. And I was having this conversation with a friend of mine. There will never be another voice like hers.
No.
You can say, oh, well, this person is... No. Stop even saying it.
Respect. You make me feel like a natural woman. Spanish Harlem. Think. Yeah. I mean, it's like these songs are not just like hits. They're like ingrained in culture.
Absolutely.
And I was having a similar conversation with a friend this week, too, and we were trying to think who comes closest today to having a voice like Aretha Franklin. Now, I know Whitney's gone. She had a beautiful voice, but she didn't have the soul that Aretha had, for instance.
No.
Adele obviously has a great voice, but it's a different kind of singing that she's doing. So I don't know. I don't know that there's anybody to replace Aretha Franklin.
No, I think that's a broken mold.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking about that more later on the program. First, though, it is Thursday morning. Our friend Jensen Karp is here.
Yes,
Jensen.
Oh, hello, friends.
You did a podcast for how many episodes so far called Get Up On This?
Oh, my. I have no idea. Hundreds. We've been doing it for almost 10 years. It's what I call probably the longest dumb mistake of my life.
But you just can't figure out how to get out of it.
No.
And the concept of it is that you introduce people to cool things that they may otherwise have missed.
That's right. Things that haven't yet hit mainstream, things they may have missed over the past few decades, things that if you ran into me on the street and said, hey, what's going on? What's cool? I would have an answer for you.
And last week you brought us the Mac Miller album, which we have all enjoyed since then, by the way, because it's way better than it had any right to be.
Absolutely.
Let's find out what's on your mind this week. It's time for Get Up On This.
Get up. Get on up. On this.
Get up.
This week, I am slightly terrified. Yeah, because I guess location-wise, I'm only a few feet from Allie, and I've been told already. I've been hinted. I've been sort of secretly filled in that this is something you don't love.
Oh, no.
And I feel like most of our likes are pretty much in line.
Absolutely.
So I'm weirded out because this week I'm getting you up on a Netflix special. This is the first of three that will be released this year. There's also another one. But what I'm getting you up on right now is a special on Netflix called Push. It's from Darren Brown. He's a mentalist / magician out of the UK. And I've been told you didn't like it. I've been told you think this whole thing is fake.
That's not true at all.
Okay.
I totally enjoy watching Mentalist.
Yes.
However, I think his latest special, and I don't know if it's Push. It was.
You're talking about the fact or fiction, the religious.
Yes.
Okay.
Was that the one where he performed miracles?
Yes.
That was some BS. That was awful.
Well, I can't wait to tell you that I think none of this is BS. I think the idea that Darren Brown, let me tell you about him. He's extremely famous, and he's just coming out to the U.S. And again, like she says, it could be considered magic, but what it truly is is mind control.
Mm-hmm.
This is a man who believes that he could bring you into any room and basically, with just a couple words, say anything he wants you to say. For example, in the UK, he became very famous by bringing in different people and saying, hey, listen, when you were a kid for Christmas, was there something that you asked for that your parents never got you? And mm-hmm. they go, no, not really. He goes, really think about it for me. Take it in. Like, is there anything that you've ever thought of or put on a list and your parents just ignored it? No, not really. Think again. And they go, you know what? Yeah, once a red bike.
Mm-hmm.
He got famous because he made that happen 6 times in a row
mm-hmm.
with people who came in. And he basically, in a way, hypnotizes people.
Right.
To do
Yes. So they all said red bike.
They all said red bike. And he tells you how he does these things. He's not like a secretive person. He basically says, I can get into people through suggestion, through a bit of hypnosis, although legally he says he is not hypnotizing people.
Mm-hmm.
He is able to make people think certain ways.
Okay.
That is his entire magic. This is a 1-hour and 9-minute special released in June, currently on Netflix, where Darren Brown does a social experiment, right? He finds people that he believes he can convince over the course of a night through escalating events to push someone off a building to their death.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what you need to know.
Ooh.
So, for example, at the beginning, I'm not going to give away too much because I want you to watch it. And it's on your Netflix tonight. But, for example, he'll say, you know, hey, this is a platter of, you know, a platter of appetizers. Do me a favor. I know they're not vegetarian, but can you put the vegetarian sign on it because we're supposed to have a vegetarian platter? And then over the course of a night, those kind of moral dilemmas, those kind of questionable moves are escalated until we get to our final scene, which would involve possibly someone murdering someone.
So
what?
These are things that these people under ordinary circumstances asked by you or I to put the sign up on the vegetarian would
yes.
just say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's uncool, dude.
But would you be? But would you?
I would not do it. But this guy somehow is getting inside their brain and making it seem to them like it makes sense and it's a good idea.
And he never hides the reasoning. So you say, like, oh, weird that they get into the minds. Not really. He just, you know, like, for example, the very small thing. Like, at the event that they do this whole experiment at, he didn't tell them it's a black tie affair. So the person who shows up is wearing kind of more street clothes. Just that alone might make you think you're a little inferior
okay.
to the people around you. So if someone asks you to do something, you might be more inclined to do it.
Huh.
Can you see how you watching it, can you see how it works?
Yes, absolutely. He picks people who, for example, seem to be inclined to follow. They're definitely not leaders.
Mm-hmm.
He picks people to do this that are followers and then shows you how these type of things happen. I picked up the trailer so you guys could hear a little bit of it. Let's listen to it.
My name is Darren Brown, and the question we're considering is simple. Can we be manipulated through social pressure to commit murder?
70 people coming in here. They can't see this. Take them by the knees.
70 actors will be playing out a meticulously planned and rehearsed scenario to manipulate this man, who has no idea he's being filmed.
Come on, guys, what are we gonna do?
He's a millionaire. He's gonna make sure you go to jail.
This show is about how readily we hand over authorship of our lives every day.
Just give him one big push.
Can social compliance be used to make someone push a living, breathing human being to their death? Welcome to The Push.
And it sounds cooler because it's British, right?
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
It is the most intense hour of television I have seen in a very long time. I think it's important media. It shows you kind of maybe what's going on in the U.S. right now, too, about people sort of blindly following.
Mm-hmm.
It is intense media, and I think Darren Brown's doing a great thing.
I haven't seen it, but I did watch the Miracles one.
Yeah, so that is the second of the three specials.
And it just, it was boring.
You got
to
the end.
I had to, because I'm like, it's got to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's talking about this guy. And it bored me, and you saw through everything that was happening.
Well, FYI, I'm not getting you up on that one. I'm getting you up on the first one, which
okay.
is Push, just for the record.
Okay.
I do think that the second special is a little more of mentalism. Like, I think it's a little more of, like, Copperfield. Like, a little more, like, that kind of thing going on. But with Push, it is much more of a social experiment. It is not magic. No magic is going on. It's just, it almost shows you how magic happens. It shows you
mob mentality, too.
Absolutely.
You know what it sounds like, to what it reminded me of, me with the clip you played, was the Joe Schmo Show, where you got one guy who is the target and everybody else is around him is in on it.
And imagine that involved murder.
except with murder, exactly.
Yeah. And the things that happen, it will make you, I mean, if you watch it with your wife or your girlfriend, I mean, there will be many times you look over and go, you wouldn't do this, right?
So again, it's called Push.
Yes.
His name is Darren Brown, and it's available now on Netflix.
Yes, and he spells his first name D-E-R-R-E-N, which is kind of mentalist for me not to think that's stupid. I don't. But I can't recommend anything on Netflix more than Push. It is very interesting. And also, like, there's too much TV. We all know this. There's just too many shows. This one gets out the pack.
I'm going to give him a chance.
I appreciate
just
it.
Just for you.
I appreciate
Sounds
it.
Like
just
fun.
For you.
I appreciate it.
All right. That's this week's Get Up on This.
Get up. Get on up on this.
Get up. Get on up
on this.
Get up.
Get on up on this.
Get up.
Get on up on this.
Panic at the Disco played last night at Staples Center.
That's right.
But we continue to give away tickets to see the band because they're coming back to town in February doing shows at the Forum and the Honda Center. You can win those tickets at 9 o'clock this morning and be qualified to see them this weekend in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. Stryker will have the grand prize drawing for that at 5. So everybody who wins Panic at the Disco Southern California tickets throughout the day today at the top of every hour will then be qualified for the trip to Las Vegas as well. Man, that's a great live band right now.
Oh, Brendan Urie, that man's a worker.
He sure is, and what a voice.
What a voice. He's going to be working forever. He's going to be like one of those dudes that when we're all old and he's going to be in Vegas or doing a Broadway play, or he's going to work forever.
I hope you're right. We started having a conversation the other day off the air. By the way, please let me reintroduce our friend Jensen Karp, sitting in for KRX Kevin for a couple of days here while Kevin has some business out of town. Welcome, sir.
Yes.
We were having a conversation about how we're getting into back to school time. And by the way, first of all, I'd like to call BS on all the kids who are already back in school. Allie, you mentioned that LAUSD is back already this week. Mm-hmm. When I was going to school, granted, it was the 19th century, but you never went back before Labor Day.
No. You shouldn't.
Going back in at the middle of August? What's that BS?
No, that's awful. What is that called? Like year-round schooling? Don't they have a name for that?
Well, year-round school, but this is just normal LAUSD. They're starting earlier and earlier.
Not
I don't
for me.
Get it.
Not for me.
No, you start after Labor Day, and then you're out mid-June. That's how the rules go.
That's school.
That's how Jesus would do it.
That's how Jesus would do it.
We started talking about what we were all like in high school and the mistakes that we made and the bumps along the road to the rest of our lives, and we thought, man, if we could go back, if the age you're at now with the knowledge that you've accumulated living your life since high school could go back and whisper in the ear of little high school Jensen or little high school Allie or little high school Bean, what would you tell them? What would be useful information that you would give them? And that's the topic on the table here this morning at 1-800-520-1067. It is back to school time. So you get the opportunity to really improve the way your life turns out, maybe if you give good advice. Allie, why don't we start with you? What would you say to teenage Allie in high school?
I would say, number one, and it sounds so dumb, but wear sunscreen. I mean, I had an actual timer that I would use laying at the beach telling me when to flip over.
Wow.
Like, I was such just a complete tanner when I was growing up. And it didn't result in anything great. You know, just cancer.
Right.
So I would say that. But I would also, and it sounds silly, but none of this matters. None of what you're freaking out about right now matters at all. You're going to go to your 20-year high school reunion, and all of these bitches are going to be huge and unhappy.
This is becoming very dark.
It got dark. I'm sorry.
Listen, little Allie. Don't get cancer, and all these bitches are awful.
All these bitches hate their lives.
And this little Allie's like, who's this woman?
Why is she saying these
Why
things?
Why is she screaming in a black dress with an umbrella?
She's saying.
But that would have made, I mean, if teenage Allie would have believed that, that would have been such a sense of relief to know that you're getting caught up in all this drama with these mean girls in school, and then ultimately you're never going to see them again anyway, and your life's going to be fine.
You're going to realize how much better your life is, and God crapped on all of them.
And you're going to see all their ugly children on Facebook.
Oh, right?
What's Facebook, lady?
So we're going to take your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. Advice to your high school self. I think I would have, and I don't know if this is fair or not, but since I know what my life turned out to be, I think I would have advised my teenage self to cut out more of the stuff that wasn't going to get me toward my goal, which was just to be on the radio. Jensen, you grew up just like I did, wanting to be on the radio.
Oh, yes.
Whole
absolutely.
Life. And that was me from the time I was like 6, 7 years old. And I think I would have spent a lot less time worrying about classes in high school that weren't ever going to affect me. Like, why did I work so hard to do well in math? Why did I spend all that time on science? I didn't need to. It wasn't ever going to come up in my life.
Bean,
right?
Are you sure in the few decades that you've worked in radio that osmosis has never come up? I don't believe you.
Mitosis has.
Okay, yeah. Photosynthesis. Yes. I totally understand. By the way, I couldn't even pronounce photosynthesis. That's how bad.
Still.
Photosynthesis.
Nice.
But I don't even deserve to have learned it ever.
It's true. Yeah.
And I also would not have buckled to the pressure. And by the way, I think this speaks to 2018 as well. I would not have buckled to the pressure to go to college.
Whoa.
I think it was a tremendous waste of time, as I think it's a tremendous waste of time for many people who go to college just because they don't know what else they want to do. And I think there are lots of phenomenal careers out there that don't involve going to college. I know that goes against everything your parents are telling you right now, but I wish I hadn't gone to college.
Hot take, Bean.
Mm. Right?
Hot take.
All right, Jensen, you're up, and then we'll go to some calls.
Mine is extremely specific to my life, but I am engaged to someone who I went to high school with, who I was just an acquaintance of in high school. Danielle and I went to high school together. She played Topanga on the television show Boy Meets World. So she would only be in school for 3 months of a year.
That show was being made at the time you guys were in high school?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
She was on every season, basically throughout all of our high school career. And so we would say hello to each other in certain classrooms and stuff. But I would love to walk up to little weird Jensen and go, "You're going to marry that girl." And then just walk away slowly.
What? That might have changed everything. You could have been friend-zoned back then.
Maybe.
She
That's
could
right.
have been
Although
friend-zoned
you're really underestimating my abilities. But yes, I do think in the Back to the Future photo fading away.
Right.
Like I think that maybe any change could just thwart our entire
Absolutely.
Future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But going back to 11th grade Jensen,
yes.
though, you probably thought Danielle was way out of your league because she was not only beautiful, but she was a celebrity. So there were a lot of people in school who were probably into her, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I ever thought she was out of my league as much as I was thinking, why is this Accutane making my face bleed? But I did focus on probably, and that's probably something I would tell little Jensen too, is like, be you, man. Like, I was nervous that wearing like a certain shirt or certain shoes would bring too much attention to me.
Right.
And you're always trying to blend in. But I just think, you know, be you. Maybe I would have went up to Danielle. Maybe, I mean, I don't know what that is. But in the same case, it's like, have weird hair. Have weird shirts.
Like the Atlanta FUBU episode.
That's I had airbrushed overalls. And I remember being nervous to look like another Bad Creation at middle school. Don't be nervous, man.
No.
It will look like Jaden Smith. Go out there and be strange.
You're good. Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
All right. Let's squeeze in a call before the break. 1-800-520-1067. The advice you have for your teenage self. By the way, hang up on guy who says invest in Apple stock. That's not what we're looking for here. We're looking for ways that you would improve your life, not that you could tell the future.
And by
okay?
the way, that's Biff Tannen who called in. That's not even a real person.
Exactly. Let's go to Tommy. His is interesting. Line one, Pico Rivera. Tommy, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. So what do you tell little Tommy?
Don't get married. It's funny you guys are talking about that.
Jesus, cool. Tommy, very dark.
Wow.
Okay, explain why. Just because now you know that getting married to the woman you married was a big mistake?
I love her to death, but she's such a speed blocker, though.
Your wife doesn't let you screw other chicks?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I just think about all the trim I've missed out on because I have to go home every night.
Oh, Tommy, you seem very chill.
Wow.
You do.
Yeah, God bless her.
Yeah, she did the world a favor, but thank you, Tommy. We appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067.
I'm going to walk up to little Tommy and just go, respect women.
Right, exactly. We'll take your calls on this topic right after this on K-Rock. Johnny and Tiffany, Alex and Lori, Devorah, to you guys all, hang on. You have some great advice to your high school self. That's the topic on the table here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. If you could go back and tell your 11th grade self some advice, what would it be? 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next. Best viral videos of the week, including the cow song, Bitch, I'm a Cow, which is my new favorite song, we'll be addressing in the brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming up just after 8 here on K-Rock. In the meantime, we're talking about what advice would you give your high school self? We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Devorah, please, if you wouldn't mind. Chip, line 5, she is in Whittier to get us going. Hey, Devorah.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning to you. So you get to go back and talk to little 10th or 11th grade Devorah, and now from the benefit of hindsight, what do you tell her?
Well, I'm an actual high school teacher, so I have a little bit of an in on what's cool. I would say enjoy it more and don't stress and don't worry about the drama. You know, like, it just, it doesn't mean anything later. So if you just enjoy it more, everybody, you know, they come back to me after they graduate and they're like, oh, I wish I was still in high school. And they couldn't wait to leave, but they wish they were still there.
But, you know, Allie was saying a similar thing about avoiding the drama. But that's, even if you had that advice, it's so hard for a teenage brain to work that way because you just are, you're not formed the way you are as an adult. You're thinking of completely different things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And your friends are everything at that time. So, you know, if there's drama between your friends, it's excruciatingly painful.
Devorah, how hard is it? How hard is it to not, like, if you see a kid freaking out, like, oh, they said I was fat, or is it so hard for you to just be like, oh no, that girl's awful? Don't think of, you know, like, how do you not play into it as a high school teacher? Like, I would scream at them. Don't worry, everything works out. All these people are going to be home and barefoot.
Actually, I'm the teacher they go to, so I actually give them really good advice. I help them break it down.
Good.
You know,
for you.
I actually listen to what they say and help them break it down, and then give them perspective, because you got to listen first. You can't just yell at them.
Devorah, 2020.
Yeah, Devorah, 2020.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you for the call, my dear. We appreciate it very much. Let's go up to Sherman Oaks, line one. This is going to be Johnny. Johnny, you get a chance to go back and whisper into the ear of teenage Johnny. What do you say?
Well, guys, you know, I think some good advice is to keep a good group of friends and get really involved in high school.
And when you get to high school, you're going to keep that advice in mind, right?
Yeah, I feel like we're talking to little Johnny.
Yeah.
I can give little Johnny the advice he needs.
How old are you Johnny?
You know, I got this advice when I was young, so why not give it to the people that are in high school or going in?
Wait, well, how old are you, Johnny?
I am 15 years old.
Well, okay. Here's some things I need Johnny to know. One, Johnny, no matter how old you think you sound like a baby, and I love it. It's adorable.
Thank you very much.
I love it. And do you think, like, going into school, like, are you nervous to be yourself around people, or are you just going out there and being a cool dude?
I'm just going out there doing what I can, meeting some new people and enjoying high school.
You know what? I love little Johnny.
Johnny,
I
do too. 2040.
Yeah, 2040.
I don't know.
I don't think that's how it works.
I don't know how math works either.
I mean, listen, yeah. Johnny clearly has less pimples than I did.
Wow. Yes, yeah. And more brains than I do. I mean, the guy is, he's mature well beyond his years. Mm-hmm. And Johnny, the only bad decision I've seen you make so far is listening to the Kevin Bean Show, but yeah. We appreciate it. We thank you for calling. All right, let's mix it up and let's try Alex, please. Long Beach Line 3. Alex, you know the topic. What do you have to share?
Morning, guys. Morning, Allie.
Hey.
Morning.
If I could go back in time, I would tell myself to join the military.
Oh.
Oh, now that's interesting. Was that something that wasn't on your radar at all when you were in high school?
No, it actually was. I considered joining the military. I took some of the testing, scored high enough that I probably would have never seen a battlefield. But back then, the things you care about aren't the things you care about when you're older. You know, if they told me I could buy a house with zero down, they told me I could retire with full pension in 20 years, they told me, they'd pay for your schooling later in life, you know, they tell you you get to shoot guns, and, you don't think there's some of those more important things that you value once you get older.
And then how long did it take after high school before you took your own advice and did join the military?
I'd say about 10 years later, I had a lot of friends who had already been in for, say, 15 years, a few older friends, and they're looking at 5 years until they retire with full pension before age 40. They're buying houses with no money down. I'm a blue-collar guy. A lot of them are blue-collar guys. They're jumping in the front of the line for job interviews because of their military experience.
I see what you're saying. Hey, there's a lot of benefits to joining the military. That's for sure. And it's not for everybody, but it is for some. And we appreciate everybody who makes the choice to serve. Thank you very much for the call, sir. We appreciate that so much. All right, who do you like here, Allie? Who do you like, Jensen? We only have time for maybe one or two more.
I like Claire because she's so right about everything.
All right, let's talk to Claire. Westlake Village, please. Line 5. Hey, Claire, thanks for calling and holding on. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
What do you got?
Okay, so my advice, this is just what I did, but everybody lives it differently. I got multiple jobs in high school, and before I turned 20, I went to Europe twice, Japan once, and I think you should work hard, make mistakes, and blow your money while you're young before you have college debt, kids, house payment, all that good stuff.
Claire's like so my smart. Tony Robbins, just killing it.
So smart. Instead of spending that money to go to school and then you're in debt forever, you've traveled the world more than people in their 40s have.
Yeah, I was a bubble boy. Like the furthest I ever traveled throughout high school and college was like Van Nuys.
Right.
Like I never went anywhere. That's a change I would make.
Yeah.
So in other words, most people, they look at, as soon as they graduate from high school, they go right into college, and then as quickly as they can, they go right into working for the next 50 years.
Yeah.
Instead, take that time off and enjoy it a little bit.
Travel, make your mistakes, enjoy your life.
Yeah, go to Amsterdam. Be weird.
Right. Make it a gap year or two. Yeah. All right. Very good, Claire. Thank you. And I'll close with this one. This is Art from the 323 writing in, texting the Kevin and Bean Show. I would have told myself to stop wearing a sweater in 100-degree heat. No one cares that you're fat with man boobs, and you'll still get laid a lot. You're funny, and that gets you more than that buff dude you'll never be. You've got the gift of gab. You end up in sales. Your wife is hot. Your kids are beautiful. And life is great.
Hey. Hmm. Yeah, that buff dude ends up being a bouncer at like a Bennigan's. You know what I mean? Like the high school quarterback clearly doesn't turn out to be the thing he wants to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's the nerd in the glasses who ends up finding some weird social media company and becomes a billionaire.
Says a nerd in glasses, by the way, who somehow strangely is rooting for that dude.
You know what? We all have our hopes.
Art, I'm glad it all worked out for you. Thanks for the calls. What's happening with Ali coming up next on K-Rock? Once again, you can win tickets to see that band next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show when they come back to town. I know they played last night at Staples, but they'll be doing the Forum and the Honda Center in February. We've got those, and we qualify you to go see them in Las Vegas this weekend as well. That's all coming up, and a new internet roundup on K-Rock 2. All right, 7:53. Allie's here with what's happening and some sad news to get us started.
Yeah, Aretha Franklin's publicist has confirmed to the Associated Press that she passed away in Detroit this morning after battling advanced pancreatic cancer. She was 76 years old. Here's just a bit of the statement from the family. In one of the darkest moments of our lives, we are not able to find the appropriate words to express the pain in our heart. We have lost the matriarch and rock of our family. The love she had for her children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and cousins knew no bounds. And then they go on to talk about her legacy and how it will live on. And, I mean, we were talking off the air about just songs that we love from her and songs that we either grew up with, or Blues Brothers is trending right now on Twitter, which is awesome because of the song Think. There were so many songs. Like, it's her catalog is endless.
Well, she had 60 years of great music.
Yeah, 18 Grammy Awards, including one for Lifetime Achievement. In 1987, she became the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In 2005, I think this is just mind-blowing. She was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest award for an American civilian by then President George W. Bush. She sang at Barack Obama's inauguration. The woman has done it all.
And it's, by the way, it's one of those things, too, where, like, this mold is broken. There are no musicians in 2018 that have this type of career.
No.
Yeah, that's true. And by the way, best collection of hats of any celebrity ever.
Yeah.
Man, did she have some crazy hats.
Every day was the Kentucky Derby for Aretha Franklin.
I love it so much. Well, here's just a tidbit, a taste of one of her most popular and recognizable songs.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Come on with the come on.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
Just the power that she commanded on a stage. You're never going to see anything like it again.
That song became like a trope. It's like a R-E-S-P-C-T. You know, it's like almost, it's just you forget it's a song.
Yeah.
It just became a phrase.
And a women's power anthem, too, as well. I mean, it was had social implications as well. And I would also like to add, and I have argued this many times in the past on this program, the greatest cover song of all time. Somebody taking somebody else's song and making it her own. Mm-hmm. No one's ever done it better than that one.
She's a goddess.
She really is.
Absolutely. So rest in peace, Aretha Franklin. has passed at the age of 76. All right, you're about to get whiplash from that story to this. Kelsey Grammer has quite an innovative way for preventing adultery.
Huh.
He decided that he would get his wife's name tattooed just above his crotch. So if he was ever going to cheat, it would be more of what he says, quote, it was more of sort of an ownership thing. So if he was going to cheat with someone, quote, whoever might be, you know, would read that particular piece of equipment and know that I was already signed and owned by someone named Katie.
But was this, I was going to ask,
if
this was his first wife, second wife, or third wife he made this decision with?
Current. Current wife, yes.
That's weird, because I guess that I have no explanation now as to my huge Frasier tattoo. I don't know why. I don't even know why I would have got it now.
Awkward.
Yeah.
But I love that he's putting the onus of cheating on the woman. Like, oh, she's going to see it
she better read it.
I can't do it now. Yeah.
She better read it.
What a... Kelsey!
Yeah. It's not my fault. She can't read.
She's dyslexic. Yeah. I couldn't stop her then.
No. She attacked me.
I learned from Netflix the other night that Kristen Bell is his daughter. Did you guys know that?
Yeah, there's a difference in fiction and nonfiction.
But, really? They look like they knew each other pretty well.
That's probably an issue. It's really weird.
Probably let them know about TV.
I need to learn Travis Scott lyrics. And I should have learned them before, because in celebration of his third album, Astroworld, debuting at number one on the Billboard charts, Travis Scott gave away $100,000 via Cash App to select fans who tweeted lyrics from the album at him. This is what he said. So I know it's hard for the kids, so I decided to unload my bank account on you guys. I'm busting down $100,000 and giving away to any fans that can tweet me their cash tag with lyrics from Astro Gang. So people did, and he picked dozens of fans at random and deposited between $50 and $1,000 into their accounts.
Wow.
All right.
While we're on Travis Scott lyrics,
okay.
I'm a hip-hop fan.
Right.
People know I'm sort of a historian to an extent.
If you will, yeah.
On the new album Astroworld, I like the record, but I love the record for one reason. He mentions Jamba Juice twice.
He does.
He mentions Jamba Juice twice. Not once, but twice.
And there was an article that I saw yesterday which just made me go, this is where we're at in the world. Why is Jamba Juice so important to rappers?
Yeah.
And I was like, is it?
You know what? If 2018 pushes us towards rappers like in Jamba Juice... the one good thing of this year.
How times have changed. Now we're rapping about Jamba Juice.
Listen, they know what's cool.
I'm saying. Did he say anything about like wheatgrass shots, or is it just implied?
Just straight up Jamba? Okay. I think he likes the desserts. You know what I mean? Like the ones. I like how we used to think Jamba Juice was healthy.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
oh yeah, it's
just
a fruit smoothie.
Fruit.
Yeah, this is a fruit smoothie. Yeah. It's like vitamin water.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm having vitamins.
No.
No, you could call anything vitamin water. Anything.
And aren't they like 400 or 500 calories?
No, they're terrible
at
for
least.
You.
Yeah,
they basically are filled with mayonnaise. It's a terrible thing.
I mean, unless they are a sponsor, and
well,
then they are
then
great
Jamba Juice
and
is healthy, and also we're gonna have a pool party, and there's gonna be a bunch of Jamba Juice.
Amen.
K-Rock, baby.
Some birthdays for you: Kathy Lee Gifford, James Cameron, Steve Carell, Timothy Hutton, Angela Bassett, Madonna, and Taika Waititi. And that's what's happening.
Our friend Kevin off for a couple days. Jensen Karp filling in. Hey, Jensen.
Hey, how's it going?
Alan McKay is here. Also, Dave, our producer, the King of Mexico. King, nice job this week with the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. You ready for it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world. It is time for the Internet Roundup. So tell all the boys and girls. We've got funny and sexy, even music, too. We've got all the greatest videos, and they're mostly on YouTube.
Jensen, your thoughts on our very timely Cameo parody.
I know, you guys, on the cutting edge, on the pulse of music, the K-Rock tradition continues. I don't know, it sounded a lot like Fred Schneider.
Well, that's Omar's speed. Hey, speaking of on the cutting edge of music, do you know anything about Doja Cat? Doja Cat is the creator of Moo, which is my favorite video of the week. Does she have a backstory? Is she a comedian? Or do you know anything about her?
All I've seen is the video. I've only seen what you've seen, and I say there's a future.
She is dressed up in a Holstein onesie, a black and white spotted Holstein onesie, and she's singing a song about being a cow, and I can't get it out of my head.
Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. I'm not a cat. I don't say meow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Go moo.
And it goes on like that for far too long, but it is very entertaining.
Do we just give the Pulitzer now? Like, do you just hand it over?
I'm not sure. I think we have to wait. But,
I think we're going to see her at Coachella.
I don't know.
I really are.
A lot of animated boobies in the video, too, if you're into that. The Office is a show that I think gets more popular every year it's off the air. Everybody misses The Office. And it is one of those shows that so many people have done so many edits of so many great scenes and lines from that. And this is another one. Michael Scott. Who, as you know, did not have the greatest, just like me, not the greatest use of the English language. He had a lot of trouble coming up with words, much like I did. But there's about a 10-minute montage of him screwing up words. And it's so funny, and here's a taste of it.
Webster's Dictionary defines wedding as the fusing of two metals with a hot torch. Well, you know something? I think you guys are two medals, gold medals.
I like this chair. It is ergonomically correct.
It's not a good idea, Michael. He needs to rest.
No rest for the sick. Trying to feed the pigeons. I guess they all flew west for the winter. The old Michael Scott might have taken this, but not the new Michael Scott. They are in for a bitter surprise. I am not to be truffled with.
You know what they say. Fool me once, strike one. But fool me twice, strike three.
There's been some talk of trying to reboot that show. Is it possible? Would those guys do it, do you think?
Well, remember, Ricky Gervais used to do specials in the UK when he would bring them all back. I could see a special, but
for sure.
I mean, after The Quiet Place, I doubt Krasinski wants to walk back into The Office.
Yeah, I think we're good.
I love it. God, I love that show. Ken Jeong is one of many talented Asian actors in the movie that is opening up this weekend called Crazy Rich Asians. And he did this thing where he answered Google questions about himself. Dr. Ken is very funny, as you know, and he had some answers to listener questions.
We're on to the W's.
What? Ken Jeong.
What was
Ken Jeong's first movie?
I'm very, very fortunate. My first movie was Knocked Up, and that was written, directed by Judd Apatow, and it had Seth Rogen, Katherine Heigl. Anybody who is anybody in comedy was in Knocked Up. It had Paul Rudd, Craig Robinson, Adam Scott. This is right off the top of my head. Jonah Hill, Jay Baruchel, Jason Segel, Kristen Wiig, Bill Hader. It was like the Avengers of comedy, and that was my first movie. Knocked Up really opened the doors for me, and I really do owe so much to Judd Apatow.
What does Ken Jeong do for a living? Well, as you know, I overact. But I also do PR appearances, and overacting and press are my passions. I also like to act occasionally when I feel like it, when I don't like to phone it in. And I was a doctor, saved a lot of lives, healed the sick, yada, yada, yada. What does Ken Jeong really mean?
I think to be Ken Jeong is to enjoy life, to savor it, to not think at all. And when you do anything in your career, so many people overthink. Not this guy. I just do. I trust my instincts, but I trust my impulses more. I don't think when I do any career move. And that is why I'm here on Wired Autocomplete. And you better believe, baby.
I love him. I love him. Jensen, who's this guy behind the Golden Girls video that we spotlight on this week's Roundup?
Well, funny enough, he is a friend, Dashiell Driscoll, who works over at Funny or Die and soon will be a writer on my television show, Drop the Mic, over at TBS. This is just coincidence. I did not pitch this.
No kidding.
No, I just looked. That's just a coincidence. But Dashiell's so funny. He's been doing the Zach Morris is Trash videos that are on Facebook. And he's been looking back at some of these sitcoms from the 90s and proving that people are mostly garbage in them. Not good people.
Well, He's got a series right now of looking at very special episodes of classic TV, including the one where Betty White's character on Golden Girls had sex with a dude and he died in her bed. And you can imagine that was a very special episode. Here's a taste of that.
Rose doesn't want her roomies to know she's getting that work. Al promises he'll be extra quiet and will not make any noises that sound like an orangutan on Adderall slapboxing a trash bag full of yogurt. Rose wakes up the next morning feeling good. Dorothy says she must have had some dreams. She woke up the whole house. Rose says it was a nightmare. Not an inaccurate way to describe two old slamming slippery uglies. Blanche says it sure is funny. Nightmares sound just like a wild boar trying to eat 50 pounds of shredded chicken covered in jelly. Sophia says what up, then informs Rose there's a man in her bed.
Rose got love. Lucky. Not so lucky. The man in your bed is dead.
Hilarious. Sophia was putting laundry away, gave Al a what-up, and got the cold shoulder. The very cold shoulder. He dead. Rose says he's just shy, a claim refuted by everyone who heard his grunty grunts mere hours ago. Dorothy tells Rose to check on her dude. Rose doesn't want to wake him. Sophia says that ain't gonna happen. Savage.
That show got dark, didn't it? And there's one other video we want to mention just because I feel like a warning needs to be given here, because this video was banned by YouTube, and it's just an ad for the movie The Nun. Dave, you have or have not seen this?
I'm not going to see it, dude. Come on.
It's like 1 second of The Nun showing up on a video.
Everyone's saying it's like the scariest 6 seconds you'll see, and I'm not going to see that.
It's just a jump cut. It's just a surprise because you're looking at nothing, and then The Nun just pops out, and people don't expect it maybe, but there's nothing graphic or anything like that. It's, well, I mean, they're getting a lot of publicity for this video, that's for sure.
Dave is literally shivering next to me. He's literally terrified just talking about it.
I don't like it.
It's not scary, you guys, even though it was banned on YouTube because of so many complaints from people who said it was scary. You should check it out and check out all the videos right now at krock.com or kevinabean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah!
Look. Don't we have enough actual problems in the world without DJ Omar Khan inventing new ones?
What are you talking about?
It's true.
What? Omar, I didn't invent this problem.
Yes, you did. You came in out of nowhere yesterday and you're like, oh, guys, I'm so exhausted. I don't know what I'm going to do. People keep wishing me a happy birthday on social media. Now what?
Well, no, I was just wondering, you know what? I'm on a couple of socials. I'm off Instagram because my phone's old and it doesn't work. So if anybody wished me a happy birthday on Instagram, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to reply. But it got me thinking. Every year, I post a couple times a year on Facebook. I was late to the party on Facebook, and I only post a couple of promotional videos for the DJ business. By the way, if you want to book me, I'm a really good DJ, djomercon.com.
seems shoehorned. Go
and,
on.
I post for my birthday because a lot of people, about 100 people, maybe 200 people, post happy birthday.
Is it 100 and, or 200?
I don't know. Yeah, okay. I really don't know.
Seems like an oversell.
I mean, right?
Yeah. And
this is because everyone who follows you on Facebook has access to your birthday because that's a message that's sent out that says, hey, remember to...
They get a little notification.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that started to... I was like thinking last year I posted like, hey, thanks for all the birthday wishes, like 5 days late. And I started thinking, I was like, are these people getting upset that I'm not posting that or, you know, kind of like replying? Or is it something like for me, it would be kind of like, oh, you know what? I hope Omar sees this. You know, I just want to wish him well, you know?
Yeah.
So you're asking cool like the thing. Etiquette of right. When someone wishes you a happy birthday on Facebook.
What is the etiquette? Am I a bad dude if I don't? Because I haven't posted, you know, hey, thanks for all the birthday wishes. Mm-hmm. Does that make me a bad person?
I think you need to get over yourself that someone's sitting at home like, why hasn't Omar responded?
Okay.
Like, no, it doesn't. No.
It doesn't
matter. Are all of these people wishing you a happy birthday close friends?
Some are. Which I don't get. I don't know if Chip, did you post on my timeline?
No. I told you happy birthday to your face.
Okay, but Dave posted right. on my timeline.
Well, it's
and
Dave.
I'm thinking, what?
That should be a clue right there.
Right? You know?
Yeah, people that don't like you, that don't want to interact with you on a human level are writing that on your timeline.
Well, that's giving him a new complex.
What?
Listen.
Is that really true?
Listen, I don't want to be Hot Take Jones over here,
okay.
But I'm going to tell you, I think that if you ignore the happy birthday messages without even giving a like, or like just a thumbs up, kind of a dick.
But
really?
He's not on Facebook.
Doesn't matter.
I get the little email things that, oh, there's, you know, activity right. on my Facebook. Yeah.
And then did you go check out the activity? Because so many people were saying happy birthday.
No.
So how do you know?
How do I know what?
That so many people wished you happy birthday.
Because you see with the emails.
You're a jerk.
With the emails. Why am I a jerk?
Because imagine if you're going down the street and someone's like, hey, man, happy birthday, Omar. And then you just kept walking.
But that's different. That's real life.
Well, listen, in 2018, listen, these are blurred, sir.
That's very sad to me then. If that human interaction is gone. Because I got, on the flip side, I got, you know, in real life, I got about 20 texts.
Oh, text messages. Friends. Man, I didn't know they were such personal interactions, like a text message.
That's more personal than, because I know that person than on social media.
It's all the same. No one's saying
it
to me.
No, especially for people like us, because I mean, I'm going to say 90% of the people that are my friends on social media are fans of either this show or the podcast or, you know, my DJ gigs or, you know, so we don't really know each other.
Right.
So I'm thinking, you know, they're just being nice. And for me to physically have to go like it out of obligation.
So he just did the move with his thumb like
so
it was
tiring.
A lot.
Dude, I'm super busy.
What do you have to run 4 miles for Wi-Fi?
I'm not on Facebook.
Right.
I'm not on Facebook all the time.
To me, it's very simple. If it's bothering you, wondering if you've upset people, you just put a blanket. Thanks so much. You guys know I'm not on Facebook a lot. I just want you to know I read your birthday wishes. Means a lot. Thanks. Boom.
Okay.
You're done. You're
so
good.
Yeah.
Let me butt in here, if I may.
Please.
Jensen, you're a guy who has quite a sizable Twitter following, over 50,000 people.
Sure.
You get a lot of tweets. Do you feel it is rude if you don't respond to those tweets? Do you answer everyone who reaches out to you?
Listen, Twitter's yelling into a toilet. I'm talking about Facebook.
Is the toilet.
No, Facebook is a toilet as a company. But most people that are your friends on Facebook, at least in my case, should be people who know you or are involved in your life.
Then you have a personal page.
Yeah. No. Okay, so let's make a distinction here.
Mm-hmm.
On your fan page.
Like, I don't have a fan page.
Well,
it's
a personal
page.
I'm back to my hot take. My hot take is this. If you have a personal page and you want to make people feel like they're your friends and one of them wishes a happy birthday, hit the like, bro. It takes 2 seconds. By the way, the thing she's saying about like, tell everybody blanket statement, that might take longer. All you got to do is go to it, like, and then you're done.
But do you think these people are actually getting their feelings hurt or anything like that?
Oh, please don't disregard the idea that I think these people are creepos. Because I don't understand why they're every day waking up and being like, whose birthday is it? Facebook.com.
You see, that's the other issue I'm really weirded out with, like, if you get a notification, it's so-and-so's birthday, there are people out there that are just automatically, every morning, it's part of their routine. Hey, I got to wish, you know, so-and-so a happy birthday just because I got the notification.
Yeah.
Why is that a thing now?
That I can't defend.
I have made a life decision that has just benefited me across the board. I'm not on Facebook.
Mm.
None of my friends are on Facebook. We don't care about anything about Facebook. It's easy.
And then when people, what about Twitter? Is Twitter different? If they at Ally McKay and wish you a happy birthday, do you write back thanks?
Not all of them.
I will
often do the thank you so much. But I engage a lot on Twitter and I engage a lot on Instagram.
Yeah.
But then you have people that get mad that you don't respond to every single thing that they write. And you know what? That's not on me anymore.
Tough cookies.
I'm going to be honest, by the way. I felt bad. Jensen, you may not even know this, but 2 weeks ago, I lost my father. My dad passed away.
Yeah.
And I put it up on Twitter, which is the only social media that I use. I'm not on Facebook or Instagram. And I received, God bless our listeners, by the way, who care, but hundreds of sincere condolences. Hundreds.
But I sent you I sent you a sincere condolence just on private, and I felt.
And I appreciate that.
And
yes.
I felt good about that. But if at any point, someone was like, hey, man, hope everything's well, you know, blah, 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 blah. If someone had texted you and it was someone you kind of considered a friend, would you let it slide and not say anything back?
No, I definitely wrote back to everybody who texted me. I agree with Ali. I agree there's more
huge
personal
difference.
Interaction.
Just to know, my parents used to say, don't tell me on the phone, tell it to my face. And now we're saying, don't tell me on Facebook, tell me on a phone.
Yes.
We're getting worse and worse, guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
But my question for you is, because that is something that is a really genuinely sweet gesture from listeners that I do not know, but that we do have a connection via this radio show. Am I out of line, kind of asking like what Omar was asking, am I out of line for not writing back to each of those people? Or is it understood that I'm overwhelmed with condolences and I shouldn't write back to everybody or shouldn't be expected to?
Yeah. I don't think people should expect things from people that they don't know. If it's your family member,
that's different.
And they're saying, oh, I'm so sorry about this, blah, blah, blah. You have a different relationship. But for people to be upset that you're not responding about a birthday wish or and I don't think anyone's doing that.
But what if your
really
cousin did your cousin wish you happy birthday, Omar, on Facebook or someone in your life that's close to you?
I don't know. I haven't checked it.
He would never know. By the way, I hope some Nigerian prince is offering you $7 million and you've never looked it up.
Oh, he responds to that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, totally. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yes. All right. It sounds like the conclusion then, because Omar brought up the question is, does anyone care? Do I have to write these people back who wish me happy birthday on Facebook? It sounds like our answer all of us are saying is no. Don't even worry about it. Don't sweat it.
I want to stay on record. I think you just do a quick like, get out of there. It's just a hot minute.
Oh, what if I take this opportunity and say, hey, thanks for the birthday wishes, y'all.
Done.
Well,
boom!
While you're doing that, maybe plug the DJ company again.
DJOmarKhan.com if you want me to DJ any event. Thank you. Enough.
All right, we've settled it. So, Allie, you were saying you go in for the vaginal rejuvenation like once a year, right?
Oh, at least. It depends on how much I'm just getting in there. But, yeah, I like to tighten it up. I like to keep it fresh.
Okay.
Like most ladies.
Well, the FDA has come out and recommended maybe you be a little more careful and more selective with where you go and what procedures you get done.
Sounds like the FDA hasn't seen my hoo-ha. It is lovely.
Did you call it the FDA?
FDA!
We'll be talking to Dr. Drew in his weekly visit coming up just after 9. First, though, controversy on the streets of Paris, you guys. I don't know. I feel like I might like this idea, but a lot of people are against it. Let's see the report from CNN.
Oh, the sights of Paris. Tourist boats float down the River Seine, its banks lined with iconic landmarks and historic streets. But it's a new addition to the city's scenery that has many residents peeved. It's the view of a loo. City officials have installed open-air urinals, one not far from the Notre Dame Cathedral, in places where public urination is a problem.
All right, so here's what's going on. Like every big city, there are people walking the streets who have to pee, and in many neighborhoods, it's very difficult to find a public restroom.
Is it?
That's what
yes,
I'm saying.
Yes, it is very difficult to find a public. Look, I don't know where you're hanging out, Allie, but most stores that you go into, most businesses that you go into, they either don't have a public restroom or they have a public restroom for customers only. You can't just pop into the 7-Eleven and say, hey, let me use your bathroom. They don't let you.
A, buy a donut and pee. B, gas station. What? Come on.
In Paris, though, you don't see a lot of those. If you're walking around in the tourist district in Paris and you have to pee, you have extremely limited options. So what they have done is they have built something. Omar's in here again. You saw these in Amsterdam. Am I right that they look like mailboxes, essentially, right?
Yeah, the ones that I saw, they kind of look like a almost like a UFO. It was kind of like a bottle shaped. And yeah, they had
how
like little
drunk were you?
No. This is when I was sober. Okay. I didn't use it till I was drunk.
Okay.
Yeah, and they have little separators, and they're out in the open.
Okay, now don't misunderstand. We're not talking about porta potties here. These aren't the honey buckets. You don't go inside and you have privacy. You are just standing on the street, and everybody can see you, except you're up close enough. This is for men only. You're up close enough to the device that you're able to pee, and nobody can see that much. They can't see your private parts, but they do look at you. They can see your face while you're peeing.
Oh, yeah. They know what you're doing. Yeah.
And a lot of people, and I hope you're only peeing, by the way, when you get up to one of these things, a lot of people are, as you'll hear in this report, are not for it at all.
For many locals, painting the receptacles red and putting a flower box on them doesn't do much to hide a very public privy.
I think installing a urinal in the streets of Paris for those who don't respect their surroundings is a good idea. But in my opinion, this model is not attractive at all. And where it's been set up is not appropriate at all.
Now, Omar, you said you used it, Omar.
I did.
Before you used it, did you or your family have any thoughts about seeing other men on the street peeing in one of these? Were you uncomfortable with that?
Absolutely. When we first saw it, we're like, what the heck is this? When I went, I was with a bunch of high school kids, and my wife and I were we were like, what is this? Because it was totally bizarre to us, and we were like, there's no way we're going to use this. Okay, flash forward.
Why is Omar taking high school kids to Amsterdam?
It was one of
of these European tours that I went to, I was the chaperone, by the way, which is funny. And so,
I like how you think that cleared it up.
So later on, we were drinking at the bar, and sure enough, there was you couldn't get into the restroom. You had to wait in line, and I had to go real bad. So there was a bunch of people using it outside, and it was not a big deal. It was just kind of like, yeah, this is what we do here. And yeah, I went, and all the bathrooms inside, by the way, ladies, were just for the ladies. If you're a dude, you pee outside.
Oh wow! So it wasn't even a backup.
Believe that.
It wasn't even a backup. It was the main urinal in that neighborhood for men.
We were just outside the banana bar, and that's how I was there, yeah.
All right, Allie, why do you hate it so much?
I feel like that guy, he pinpointed exactly what it was. For people that can't respect their surroundings, here's their choice. So you are rewarding bad behavior. It's ridiculous. Hold your pee, find a bathroom. We've done it our whole lives. And if we can't do it, stay inside. Don't go outside. You're disgusting. You're an animal.
You know that there are people who don't want to pee outside. They'd love to be able to find a restroom but can't. So would you rather them sneak around and pee in the bushes?
What are these people's bladders like?
Yeah. Why can they not find a restroom?
Wear a diaper. Why not wear a diaper? It's not as crazy.
Seriously.
Because there are a lot of places, I'm telling you, where you can't get to a public restroom. That's what I'm telling you. You don't believe that?
I don't believe it.
Because I don't see enough people who've peed their pants out in public, just walking around. Right. If this was such a problem, we would see the wet stains.
No, but that's the issue. It's just that people are public urinating. I mean, this is the solution for that, right?
Exactly. You're rewarding their bad behavior with a nicer place that you can pee where you shouldn't be peeing anyway.
There is a homeless dude, just for the record, there's a homeless dude near my house who pees, and I see him when I'm walking my dog. But I think I'll have the same reaction when he's peeing in a box. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, it's much better now.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like they're reaching out and they're trying to help people solve a problem.
So would it be okay if it was a porta potty?
Yes.
Would it be better?
With the door? Sure.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And people get to poop.
But what? No.
In that case.
I'm for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course Omar's for that. All right. Here's a little bit more.
The city says the devices are eco-friendly since they turn the waste into compost for parks and gardens. Neighbors and businesses, though, say there's nothing pretty about them and have written to the town hall to demand their removal. It is definitely a desirable and historic neighborhood, but seeing people urinating right in front of your door is not the nicest thing.
I wonder if that's part of it, is that it's a beautiful Paris. I wonder if that's...
Oh, you mean like it's not Detroit?
Yeah. I wonder if that's part of it. They say, look, we're better than this. We're the city of lights. We're supposed to be beautiful and tourist friendly. I wonder if it was just in a, you know, just in a rundown neighborhood, if anyone would care.
You mean like, welcome to Tempe, Arizona. We're one big urinal. Like that, like that's the way they sell the city.
All right. So it sounds like Omar and I are a yes. Yeah. Jensen and Allie vote no on this.
No.
Come on. Everybody pees, everybody poops.
In a toilet.
Not this time.
All right. Fair enough. Thanks, guys. About those public urinals we were talking about in Paris, Scott from La Puente writes in. He's a Lyft driver. He said that most gas stations lock their bathrooms after midnight. There's nowhere to pee. And then Allie, here's a young lady named May, just got back from Europe, peed my pants while I was there. No public restrooms anywhere. Now, these public urinals we were just talking about would not have helped May because they're boys only. But I'm telling you, there's a problem. You refuse to accept it.
I was just in London. I probably had to pee a few times.
Yeah, I have to pee right now.
Right.
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're going to find a bathroom.
Yeah, I don't need a mailbox to pee in.
No, you do not.
All right. 8:56 Thursday morning. That's the voice of Jensen Karp filling in for our man Kevin for a couple of days. Allie's here too. Time for What's Happening.
Well, really sad news. We found out through her publicist, who confirmed it to the Associated Press, that Aretha Franklin has passed away at the age of 76. She was battling advanced pancreatic cancer. Which I knew she had had cancer in 2010, and I believe there was word it was pancreatic back then, but then that nobody really believed it because pancreatic cancer tends to be quick and you tend to just go. So who knows if that's what it was back in 2010, but it is definitely what took her.
And she's lost a ton of weight in the last couple of years, too. But you never knew if that was on purpose or if it was because she was sick. I heard she had been in ill health, and obviously she'd canceled some shows and stuff. But I don't know. I saw that one thing from one of her relatives yesterday who said he had just visited with her a few days ago, and she was alert and she was laughing. And I thought, oh, maybe, you know, maybe this, maybe we're, you know, getting ahead of ourselves here and she's going to be okay. But real sad news.
Yeah, really sad. She has 18 Grammys, including one for Lifetime Achievement in 1987. She was the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In 2005, she got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest award for an American civilian. Those are just awards that she got. But she has just one of those voices that will never, again, be duplicated, and just hit after hit after hit. And I love the fact that Blues Brothers are trending right now because of this song.
Makes me want a whole chicken and a Coke.
Does it?
Take me to church.
Wasn't that Dan Aykroyd? Was that what he was ordering when he went in to the bar or the restaurant where Aretha was the waitress?
Yeah.
The whole chicken and a Coke.
Oh, just so good. Do you have a favorite, Bean?
A favorite Aretha song?
Yeah. Whether it was one of hers or a cover?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, she has 800 great songs. You know what I mean? Like, she's someone you could you couldn't narrow down a top 10 list of Aretha Franklin songs. Mm-hmm. There are so many. I loved Until You Come Back to Me. That's What I'm Going to Do. I loved Rocksteady. Natural Woman. I Say a Little Prayer. Yeah.
Natural Woman is my jam.
I think I Say a Little Prayer maybe near the top for me. Her version of that song was phenomenal.
So good. Mine is, I think we even have a clip of it, because this song kills me every time I hear it. And then when I heard it in the movie The Commitments, I was like, even The Commitments are doing it. It is Do Right Woman, Do Right Man.
Yeah, they say that it's a man's world, but you can't prove that by me.
Come on.
I'm saying, let her sing.
And as long as we're together, baby, show some respect. If you wanna do right, woman, you gotta be a do right, home man.
Good Lord.
They don't make them like that.
Good Lord.
You can tell she grew up in the church, that's for sure.
You don't hear that on American Idol.
No.
You know what I mean?
You hear people trying.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, even somebody like Jennifer Hudson, who's enormously talented, still there's a level of difficulty of what Aretha Franklin's doing that Jennifer's not attempting.
Yeah. Or an ease in the voice.
That's probably a better way to put it.
You don't hear that now.
I had heard something about, I don't even remember what award ceremony it was, but, oh, God, who was supposed to come and do Nessun Dorma? And he...
Oh, yeah, he got sick. Yeah.
Was it the blind...
Was it Placido Domingo, maybe, or
maybe
something?
The blind opera singer? What is his name?
Oh, Andrea Bocelli?
Maybe Bocelli. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Mm-hmm. She came in, and she's like, oh, I can do it. If he's called in sick, I'll just do it.
Yeah unlike like a day's notice.
Right. She went in, I watched video of it. It's like she had practiced that song her whole life, and that was the one moment she was going to show it off. This woman literally was like, oh, he can't make it? I'll do it.
Yeah.
It's effortless with her.
It was Pavarotti, apparently.
Oh, was it?
Apparently it was Pavarotti, of course.
Who just says, oh, Pavarotti can't make it? I got to jump in. I can fill in for that, right?
Yeah.
Oh. It was in 1998. Pavarotti was too unwell to perform at the Grammy Awards, was replaced at the last minute by Aretha Franklin, who was a friend of the opera singer. So let's have Omar pull that. I want to hear some of that for the next What's Happening. That would be fun.
It will just give you goosebumps. It's phenomenal. We'll talk more about her next hour as well. Some birthdays for you. Taika Waititi, Steve Carell, Timothy Hutton, Angela Bassett, Madonna, Kathy Lee Gifford, James Cameron, and that's What's Happening.
Jane is special. Do you want to see it? Take a look.
I'm sure your vagina is delightful, Allie. But
I'm just sad that never made Broadway. I had a whole deal.
I can't believe they cut it out of Hamilton.
But what the FDA is saying, as they issued a warning to 7 companies that advertise vaginal rejuvenation, is that it's not a thing. No vagina ever needs to be rejuvenated. So let's go to the man who certainly knows his way around a vagina, our good friend Dr. Drew. Is on the line with us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Doc.
That is my favorite introduction of all time.
Pretty good.
I've never had a better intro.
First of all, say hello to our good friend Jensen Karp, filling in for Kevin today.
Jensen, welcome.
Oh, welcome. Thank you.
So, vaginal rejuvenation. Certainly anyone who lives in Southern California and listens to the radio or watches TV has been bombarded with these ads for years. I know they are very popular in some neighborhoods. What does it actually mean? What is a vaginal rejuvenation to start with? And then we'll get into the specifics about whether it helps or not.
It's various different procedures and different devices. So there's a whole sort of array, a whole panoply of phenomena we're talking here. But at their core, we're talking about women that have had vaginal deliveries, vaginal births, in which the sort of lower part, if you're looking straight down the barrel at the said anatomy, there's 12 o'clock and there's 6 o'clock. Around 6 o'clock, it gets very lax. That sort of gets all stretched out, and you can actually, sometimes it can be quite stretched out, and, you know, people notice it, and they don't like it. And there are ways either with laser or cutting or internal muscle stimulators to try to bring that back to, you know, essentially if you take your hand. It's hard to describe this, but if you put your index fingers together, like make a triangle with your thumb and index fingers. Allie, do this.
I'm doing it right now.
Now bring the thumbs closer together and then bring them all the way so they're overlapping and the two index fingers come together.
Oh, someone's going to enjoy that.
That's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. I've been in and around this stuff for a long time. I've been reporting on it. I actually did a special on it years ago when people were doing lasers and claiming all sorts. I even scrubbed in on a laser surgery where we repaired one. And in every case I came upon, this was the thing that caught my attention. In every case I was dealing with, the husband or male partner was standing by going, honey, you don't need to do this. It's not an issue to me. I don't care. It's fine. Don't worry. It is, in my experience, though I know this is not 100%, but in my experience, it's always been initiated by the female who says the following, and I've found this many, many dozens of times, I want to look like those pictures. Mm. They've been looking at too much porn, too much whatever, and they feel like there's something wrong with them because of their normal progression after a delivery.
Well, here's the thing. If you have a vaginal birth and you're a bit more stretched out than you ever have been, if doing something to it to tighten things up down there makes you feel sexier, then you're obviously going to be happier in a lot of aspects of your life.
So, Allie, making the case for the young ladies.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that had always been sort of my position. But two things. A, there's a way to avoid this all in the first place.
Our C-section, right?
That's right. My obstetrician called himself the Vaginal Preservation Society, the chairman of the Vaginal Preservation Society, because he felt that, look, you do the C-section, you don't have all the incontinence and the prolapsing and all the stuff that happens.
But that's a much tougher recovery also after birth, right?
An extra couple of days. Yeah, I'm not advocating for C-sections.
And C-sections were always a last-minute thing if something was wrong. But yeah, now it's become so like, oh, just get a C-section. It's nothing.
I have a question. The C-section scar, if I'm already the type of person who would be affected by these kind of stretches, won't I also be affected by the C-section scar?
The surgeons tend to put it below the bikini line. They tend to put it somewhere that's really not a big deal. But again, it's not like we're advocating for it, and I'm not. But let me go back to Allie's sort of defense of the procedure, which I think is a legitimate defense. The problem is, and this is what the FDA is saying, they're not saying it should never be done. They're saying it's not been properly studied. Mm-hmm. And there can be problems. I've seen them with people getting scarring, stricturing, pain. Now pain with intercourse, and now all kinds of other complications ensue. A point is, when it's a surgical intervention, whether it's with a knife, a laser, a hot knife, whatever, it's a surgery, and complications can ensue.
Well, my fear would be women are going to, you know, just a random dermatologist or just a nurse's aide, and you're getting lasers where there should never be a laser. And you need to go to someone that knows what they're doing.
That's true, but even that, the FDA would say nobody knows what they're doing because it's not been properly studied. And the one that I scrubbed in on was a laser procedure, mm-hmm. and the laser does a lot of cutting, trust me. And so some of the laser procedures are just, the laser is just your knife, and who cares? A knife is a knife. So, again, those people claimed that they had less trauma to the tissue. Well, in the particular study group that I read, there was more scarring with the laser. So, again, this has to be done. This has to be studied.
This is a very uncomfortable conversation for many women to be listening right now. They are squirming hearing some of this talk about burns and scarring.
Allie's oddly standing on her chair.
Right? I'm like, yes, there should be more research. I don't understand why there isn't more research. Is it just a throwaway? Because, ladies shouldn't be able to like it.
I think because it's in the nature of the system. I think the Federal Trade Commission allows you to rush certain things to market, and people know there's a big demand, so they're sending stuff to market before it's properly researched. And that is not good. Mm-hmm. And that's all the FDA warning is about. They're not saying this should never be done. They're not saying this procedure isn't great and it won't help lots of people. They're saying we don't know, and there are some concerns. And that's all.
I say just do what I do. Don't have kids. It is awesome down there. Just saying.
And it also sounds like, Doc, that some of these laser rejuvenation or vaginal rejuvenation places, they're advertising to help with things that they can't really prove, like problems related with menopause or urinary incontinence or things like that that maybe aren't going to be helped by whatever it is
they're doing. Well, but the urinary incontinence is something that could be. Again, this is all part of the complications of vaginal delivery, and if they're doing the right kind of sling and procedure stuff, again, the surgeon may have some... Look, some surgeons may have some great new procedures that they've come upon that we don't know about yet. It just hasn't been studied. And, if the surgeons can do anything they want, they're just taking the liability on themselves.
Very interesting.
And so for the consumer to be protected, you really want the FDA to be going, here's the risk, here's the risk-reward ratio, here's what's good for you. Proceed at your whim.
I love that you have scrubbed in on one of these.
I have.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was years ago. I did a show for Discovery Health, and this was the big topic, and I interviewed lots of people. And, again, this was years ago, and it's been baffling to the males. It was like, huh, what, you want to look at what? Who cares? Just go stop. But here we are, as Allie says, if you feel more sexy because you get that certain something going.
when you advocate for the Heal app to see a doctor now in the comfort of your own home, is that what you'd recommend for this? Have them come over and just do the work right there in your living room?
Heal will not do this procedure. I can guarantee that.
Speaking of Heal, can you guys please get to Vegas?
I know. It's a plan. It's coming.
I was there with a migraine. All I wanted was someone to write me out my Imitrex, and I was so sad.
You know, maybe we should talk about this. There's a new intravenous, they have those traveling buses for IV therapies there. Mm-hmm. There is a new thing called NAD that they're using for alcohol recovery that is looking really good. And I'm wondering if they've adopted that there in Vegas, and these are traveling vans.
Yeah, everyone needs NADs in Vegas.
They just show up and fix my hangover?
Well, that's kind of what they do. And in principle, it's a bad idea, but...
So what we're learning here, vaginal rejuvenation, bad. Some dude in a car who says he'll cure my hangover, I'm in. I'll take it.
I just want to make sure we got all the bases covered.
Yeah, thank you.
Dr. Drew is on the radio Monday through Friday from noon till 3 on 790 KABC. That's where all the cool shows are. Jensen is on the AM band.
I know that very well, yeah.
And drdrew.com for all of the live appearances and podcasts, including with Mike Catherwood and with Adam Carolla as well. Doc, great chat as always. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
All right, see you guys.
Bye-bye. Kate Hatfield from Woodland Hills won tickets to go see Panic at the Disco at the Honda Center February 15th and is qualified for the grand prize drawing that our man Stryker will do of everybody who qualifies throughout the day today here on K-Rock at 5 p.m. And then Tate or whoever wins will see the band again this weekend at the T-Mobile Arena, including a one-night hotel stay at the MGM Grand Las Vegas Hotel and Casino and a $100 gas card to get you there as well. Your chance to win coming up at 10. All right, Jensen Karp is here. Allie McKay is here. Time for a final look at what's happening on this Thursday.
Well, we've been talking about it since we found out Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, has passed away at the age of 76. She had been battling advanced pancreatic cancer. So there was a statement from her family that is just, it's heartbreaking and beautiful. In one of the darkest moments of our lives, we are not able to find the appropriate words to express the pain in our heart. We have lost the matriarch and rock of the family. The love she had for her children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and cousins knew no bounds. We have been deeply touched by the incredible outpouring of love and support we have received from close friends, supporters, and fans all around the world. Thank you for your compassion and prayers. We have felt your love for Aretha, and it brings us comfort to know that her legacy will live on.
That's a woman for you.
I don't know if that's what we're saying.
I'm saying that's a woman for you. Aretha Franklin lived a life, man.
Absolutely lived a life. We were talking about just some of her accolades, from 18 Grammys to becoming the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All the different songs we've been playing, from Respect to Think to Do Right Woman, Do Right Man. And then I brought up last hour, when I had found out about when she stepped in 1998, she was going to be at the Grammys anyway, and one of her good friends, Luciano Pavarotti, became ill, and he was going to be doing the song Nessun Dorma, and the Grammys asked, would you be able to just do a song? She could have done any of her own, and she's like, what was he going to do? Nessun Dorma. I'll do that. On a moment's notice, yeah, this woman stepped in, and this is what came out of her mouth. If you get a chance, watch the video, because to see at the end, you see Faith Hill jump up, you see Celine Dion, and the look of shock and awe on their faces is just, it's phenomenal, because that's what, there's no comprehending how someone can sing like
that. Yeah, and you're like stepping in for Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Like Michael Jordan's sick, and everyone's like, hey man, can you play basketball?
Right.
Yeah.
I got chills during that, by the way. And Aretha Franklin, it's you know, we take it for granted now because we don't know a world without her. But at the time, she was, you know, young and black and female and just became a force in America and around the world with, I mean, she did so much for civil rights. I mean, she was somebody who worked really, really hard, lived the life behind the scenes, too.
Yeah. Amazing woman. There won't be anyone like her. Rest in peace at the age of 76. I'm going to play something for you guys as Dodgers fans that may make you almost like a guy in the Giants. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to believe it, but it is possible. You remember on Tuesday when Puig got in the scuffle with Nick Hundley, benches cleared. It was a serious brawl.
It was a good one.
With a weird slapping of a helmet. It was all weird. But you'll notice if you watch a clip of that, well, we'll just say someone in the outfield that goes by the name Andrew McCutchen didn't have the best reaction time of all players, but he broke it down and explains why.
So I'm looking down at my feet. They say, you know, I hear the fans. I'm like, what's going on? So I look up, Puig and Hundley, they going at it. Next thing you know, I feel a breeze, kind of feel like a light tornado just going right by me. It's the bullpen. I'm like, dang, my reaction time is way off. So I'm like, shoot, let me catch up with these people. By the time I got there, we was all just chilling, staring at each other. Literally, I thought about brightening the mood, and I was just going to get in a karate pose. Like, come on. I ain't doing it. And that was it. That's basically most brawls. For outfielders, anyway. But by the time you get there, it's over. So you just ran and got tired. Being in the outfield during a brawl is equivalent to a little kid showing up to a birthday party late. It's like you coming in all excited, and they already wet. And they eating cake.
I have a new favorite baseball player.
He's me too.
At the end of that, he goes, Mama! Like, he's so mad at his mom for bringing him to the party late. It is...
Please put him in the broadcasting booth at the end of his career.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Direct line, please.
He straight up said he was looking at his feet, just not aware that anything was happening.
Feeling the breeze.
I think he's now my favorite ever.
Yeah. I love him. Let's not forget he's a Giant, by the way, guys. Let's not get carried away.
What we're saying is let's trade him. Let's get him.
Let's get him.
Anyone who's funny, let's get him on an LA team. We had Blake Griffin for so long. We could take this guy.
I agree.
We love comedians.
Absolutely. And I warned you all at the beginning, this might make you like a guy in the Giants. It's true.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. Well, it looks like it's not going to happen. James Gunn will not be reinstated. He had a meeting yesterday that they were calling a courtesy meeting with one of the heads at Disney. And after it, it was just, yep, nope, just met with you, kind of cleared the air. And it's not happening. You are not coming back, despite pleas from fans and all the cast members from Guardians of the Galaxy. So, it
but
looks
I
like
predicted
that's it.
They would fold and hire him back, Allie.
I think a lot of people predicted that.
Especially now, Dave Bautista has to face the idea that he said he doesn't want to do it if they don't use right. James Gunn's script.
Right.
Right.
I think it would have to be. No offense to Dave at all. It would have to be Chris Pratt.
Right.
Saying
right.
I'm out.
I am still going to say, and I know it's unpopular with some people because they're so offended by his years-old tweets, but I still think he was rooked. I really do. Those tweets happened long before he was hired. He mm-hmm. couldn't apologize for them any more than he did, yeah. and he has shown nothing but exemplary behavior since then.
Yeah,
give the guy a second chance.
If people think he just apologized when they found them...
They're wrong, yeah.
He apologized years and years ago
yeah.
and kept them up because he thought, okay, I have grown so much since then. Why would I erase them?
And I believe from what I've heard, the real railroading here is that when he was hired, he gave this information
yes,
to Disney.
And
it didn't change their approach to hiring him.
Right.
But once it was called out by some right-wing trolls, mm-hmm. that was mm-hmm. when they had a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm also surprised just from a business standpoint, and I know that people are saying Disney has to have a higher standard than other businesses, but they're also a business to make money. Mm-hmm. And he's made $1.5 billion with those first two Guardians movies. And I thought that would have been enough to get him back in.
Maybe they think, hey, we've got a script.
Yeah.
We're good. Anyone can direct, right?
Maybe.
Ugh.
Well, he'll get picked up by so many other studios.
Yeah.
I think he's already working on new stuff.
Absolutely. Ooh, goodness. Some birthdays for you. James Cameron, Angela Bassett, Timothy Hutton, Steve Carell, Madonna, and one of my favorite directors, Taika Waititi. Sea Eagle versus Shark, you guys. Yeah, he did Thor. It was great. Everyone loved Ragnarok. But really, Eagle versus Shark. Watch it. That's what's happening.
Why are we whispering?
Not really sure.
I don't want to wake up my mom. On your drive home. All right, Jensen, how was day one for you?
You know what? I'm feeling pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the hours would hit me harder.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've really been this awake at 5:30. But I'm feeling it, guys. I'm doing good.
Yeah, you hit the wall around 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You are definitely going to be, you're going to need a banky and you're going to need a nappy.
Well, this stinks because I'm doing 12 to 3, too. I'm doing it. Yeah, so I got to stay here. So.
All right. Come on back tomorrow, will you, Jensen?
I will.
We got a big show for you, including the Interrupters. It's going to be so fun, you guys. As you know, they're doing that pool party on Saturday out at Morongo, but we get a little preview of that because they're going to be performing live and be interviewed in studio with us tomorrow. Also, Friday means Keep It 100. We'll ask you to help us pick the music as we head into the weekend. And an interesting phone topic tomorrow. Think about it tonight. Call us tomorrow. What would you uninvent? What invention is out there in the modern world that you wish nobody had ever thought of? We'll talk about all of that, too, tomorrow, right here on K-Rock.